Well, it is good to be together worshiping God. This morning, we're going to be looking at Hebrews, which Sharon read for us, and we're going to be really just kind of going through verse by verse. So it'll be up on the screen, but I know some of you like to actually touch your Bible and look, so you might want to open up if you have a Bible in front of you. Let me reread verses 19 through 20. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." And you know, that's not really a complete sentence, but it's a long sentence. So let's just pause there for a second and look at what we have so far. The book of Hebrews, starting with Chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through 10, 18, lays out what Jesus has done for us. And the book of Hebrews loves the image of temple worship to explain what Jesus has done for us. But in 2022, in Wisconsin, temple worship isn't part of our daily routine. And so we might need a reminder about temple worship and what are some of the things here that the book of Hebrews is telling us about. So just briefly, we won't cover every little thing, but the outer courts were the place where everyone could go to worship. And there were gates and increasingly exclusive areas as you got further into the temple. So you get finally the most sacred spot, and the most exclusive would be the Holy of Holies, which contained the Ark of the Covenant and other very special items. The high priest, the number one priest, would only enter once a year, and even then, it was not completely safe. The presence of God was so strong in that place that even it wasn't a perfectly safe thing, even for the high priest. He would take many preparations to enter that space just once a year. I was reminded of Matthew chapter 27. It says, "When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice," he's on the cross, "cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So at Jesus' death, even in the physical temple in Jerusalem, we see this opening of access. That what was once a very exclusive and holy and protected, there's this opening as soon as Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross. This new and living way that has been opened for us comes from the blood of Jesus. His sacrificial death on the cross makes us, any of us, holy. Holy to access God himself. And to enter even God's presence. Now, for us, the sacrifice of Jesus doesn't give us access to one building or a physical location. In this case, the curtain is not in a temple. The curtain is Jesus' body. So this new and living way opened for us is access to God himself, wherever we are. In Jerusalem or in Wisconsin or wherever. In this little church building or in a big cathedral or at home or out on a walk or on the lake. Access to God himself. His help is available to us now, and we look forward to enjoying his full and complete and unlimited presence for all of eternity. What we experience now is sort of a stumbling attempt to connect with God, and what we look forward to for our forever future will be even better. Better than we can even imagine. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 10. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So Jesus is not only a sacrificial lamb for us, he is also the great high priest. In this metaphor, he's everything. He's playing all the major roles. He's greater and purer than any high priest who ever walked this earth. Therefore, because of what Jesus, our spotless lamb and our great high priest, has done for us, therefore, let us draw near to God. Draw near. In other places in Hebrews, the author warns against turning away from the living God. That's 3, verse 12. Shrinking back in chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. So we have these warning against turning away, shrinking back, or drifting away. Draw near. We like to think that we can kind of pull up and park in God's presence. But more likely, we are either drawing near, actively pursuing and seeking God, or we may be shrinking back, drifting away, or even actively and consciously and intentionally turning away from the living God. We don't really stay in the same place, even though that might be easier. So we draw near to God. We actively draw near to God. With sincerity, it says, with faith, and with trust that our guilty conscience is washed clean with pure water. Daniel Da Silva points out that the water seems to kind of come from out of nowhere here. We were in the temple. We've got the image of animal sacrifice and the blood. And then we have water, the language of baptism. And I remember one of my favorites, Martin Luther, the German monk turned reformer, encouraged Christians to remind themselves every single day, I am baptized. No matter what the day brings, what disappointments or failures or accusations from the enemy of God, we remind ourselves, I'm baptized. Christ has washed me clean and he has made me his very own forever. I am baptized. So draw near to God with that kind of faith, that kind of trust. Jesus is both high priest and sacrificed with his own life. He's made a way for us to approach God with confidence. Daniel Da Silva says that word boldness has to do with going up to like a king and asking for what we need. But we approach not as sort of terrified subjects, but as beloved children, approaching God with confidence that he has claimed us and cleansed us and made us his very own. So don't shrink back or drift away. Let us draw near to God. And next, let us confess hope. There are three let us. Let us commands in this section. So the second one, let us confess hope. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So we're holding on to the hope that God gives us. We are also professing this hope, or in plainer language, we're talking about it. We're telling people about the hope that we have. 1 Peter 3:14 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So we don't need to share the reason for our hope for people who really would rather not know, but for those who want to know, who see something in us, who see that we have hope even when things are not going well, who see that we have something, that we have a connection with God that we didn't get ourselves, that we didn't figure out ourselves. We want to be prepared to give that reason, to talk about that hope that we have in Christ. After all, he died for us. He gave himself for us, gave up his life, making it possible for us to approach God in the first place. And so that's one little thing that we can do to give back for all that Christ has given us, a debt we cannot repay. We can share that hope, and we can hold on to that hope. And we can persevere in that hope, unswervingly. That's a good word. We're not getting pulled to the side or pulled back or that drifting away. You know, you think of, I grew up near the ocean, so the driftwood just kind of goes wherever the waves take it. It doesn't have any of its own agency or decision making. It just kind of wanders around. We want to be moving towards God, not just drifting around by any wave or wind pulling us in all the different directions. And that takes a perseverance to keep going towards God. And finally, this isn't actually in the text, but I think it's implied. Actually it is there. There it is, verse 24. I'm calling this, let us draw near to one another. This is what the passage actually says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day approaching. So what we need to know is that the first readers of the book of Hebrews were persecuted. It was difficult to be a believer in Christ, even with the hope of forgiveness and eternal life in Christ. When the church service was over, they had to go back out there, and it was tough out there. Ridicule from family or cut off from business opportunities, sometimes physical danger. For some believers, it just got to be too much, and they walked away from faith and the family of God. So whoever wrote Hebrews is encouraging those who are left in the body of Christ, who have persevered through the persecution, to draw near to God and hold on to hope and draw near to one another. Press in to the family of God, especially when it's hard. Press on and press in. Christian encouragement can look a lot of different ways. And I know Pastor Chris got us started on this topic last week. Hopefully, if you... Let's see, I lost it. If you were here last week, you got a little card reminding you to encourage. Well, when we talk about worshiping together, encouragement is certainly part of that. We encourage one another simply by being together, by seeing what God is doing in one another's lives, by maybe seeing one another's love and good deeds. And we ourselves are motivated to serve and love as well. Sometimes encouragement has kind of a friendly tone. Sometimes it's a little bit more of a, I can't think of another way to say this besides kick in the pants, but that word spur that we see there, I mean, I used to ride horses, like it's like, go, come on. So encouragement can mean a lot of different things. It can mean comfort for those who are grieving and kind of a kick for those who need to get going. Eugene Peterson puts it this way, Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. That's his translation of verse 24. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. But however we do it, we need that encouragement. We need to encourage one another. And then it says, don't give up meeting together. That's all part of this message about encouraging one another. I was reminded how, I think I've told this story before, but it's been a few years. When I became a Christian, when I became a believer at a camp when I was 11 years old, it's a few years ago, they gave me this little paper, and it had the three things I was supposed to do when I got home. So I was supposed to pray. There's a picture of praying hands. I was supposed to read the Word of God, so there's a picture of an open Bible. And I was supposed to go to church. And there was a picture of a pretty traditional-looking church building with a steeple and everything. And I looked at that, and I thought, I'll just do pray and read Bible, thanks. I was 11, and my family didn't go to church, so that seemed kind of hard to get to church. So I thought 2 out of 3 was pretty good. And my prayer and Bible reading at home after camp went really well for about a week. And then I stopped. The Bible went on the shelf somewhere. I don't remember continuing to pray, and things just kind of went back to the way they were before. It wasn't until I was much older, and I might be getting confused. Was I actually 15 when I tried that? Anyway, I can know for sure. It wasn't until I made a commitment to church attendance when I was 16 or 17. That's when I saw the spiritual growth that I wanted. And church attendance was soon followed by church involvement, church participation, church service and volunteering, and then leadership. That's when I started to feel as close to God as I did at camp. And then I realized, oh, you can't really just go to church once a year at camp, and then it just doesn't really work. But what I learned is that the picture of the church building with this little steeple on the card that they give me, it wasn't so much about the building. I mean, that was kind of a quick way to tell me what to do. But it wasn't about the building, it was about people. Because it was the people are the ones that spur us on to love and good deeds and growth in Christ. The building is helpful because we're not getting wet right now in the drizzle or whatever it's doing outside. But it's the people who encourage us. And finally, before we move on from these verses, there's a sense of urgency in this passage, all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord is described in different ways in Scripture, and it will be a joy or a surprise depending on our relationship with the Lord. But we want to have those of us who are indeed looking forward to more of God's presence and more of God's action in our world, and come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. It's important for us to press in towards God and one another, all the more urgently because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, and we want to draw as many as possible to Christ along with us. So the bottom line of these verses is that we need one another to worship God, and the hope that we have through Christ draws others to him as well. And the message is, don't be overly discouraged about those who have fallen away or about the challenges and pressures that face us. Cling to hope and draw near to God and to one another. Someday, when we are worshiping with all the saints from all over the world at all time and places with no limitations of our earthly bodies, and we are worshiping God forever and ever. We are before the throne. We can see God face to face. Our struggles now will seem like a distant memory. Then we have a lot to look forward to and a lot of hope ahead of us. So as we hold these thoughts together today from this passage in Hebrews chapter 10, I have some challenges for us as we think about what it means to press in towards worshiping together. First, draw near to God. I invite you to think, what is keeping you from trusting Christ for forgiveness of your sins? What is keeping you from boldly approaching God as one of His beloved children? Next, we want to confess hope. Do you know the reason for the hope that you have? Are you willing and able to share it to anyone who might like to know? And finally, draw near to one another. What can we do? How inventive can we be to draw near to the family of God? For some, that might mean more in-person attendance to Sunday morning services. For others, it might mean finding creative ways to connect with and encourage one another 7 days out of the week, not just on Sundays. So we're gonna take a minute just to think and pray on these, and then when Pastor Kress lets it snow, it's time we will move into our next song.